Science quiz. Who loved science in school? Anybody? Anybody? Thank you. I thought you did. All right, science quiz. What do you get when you combine oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, calcium, phosphorus, potassium, sulfur, sodium, chlorine, and magnesium? I know that was a lot of things. Any guesses? Well, one thing is human beings, because we have all of those things in our bodies. Another thing is stars. Most of the elements that make up the human body were formed in the stars, which says to me that if the heavens are telling the glory of God and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork, then so must we. We're made of the same stuff. Do you ever stare up at the nighttime sky at all the stars? I remember the first time I really appreciated the vastness of the universe. I was with my parents on a cross-country vacation to see relatives and national parks. We were in Nebraska, I think. My dad was driving us on this adventure, so we moved from trailer park to trailer park across the U.S., and this particular memory was of a very clear night, sitting at a campfire in a Midwestern state that was as flat as can be, because I felt like I was sitting inside a dome. I could see stars in every direction from horizon to horizon and all around. Now, many people will say that when they see hundreds and hundreds of stars like that, they feel small and insignificant. I didn't. I felt like I was part of the universe. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it was the stardust in me recognizing the stardust out there. I just know I felt connected. I find hope in the stars, hope in their constancy, the same patterns, season after season, the same relationships, okay, relatively the same relationships, because it seems the universe may be spinning apart across the millennia, but that's a different sermon. The stars, the vibrant colors of sunrise and sunset, the predictability of moon phases and tides and seasons, the rainbow after the storm, all point to reason and logic and structure. All point in our language to God, to the goodness of God, to the holiness of God, the love and the grace and the hope of God. God is seen in the creation that is out there and the creation that is everywhere around us and in us. And John's gospel tells us Jesus is the goodness and the holiness and the love and the grace and the hope of God on earth, God in human flesh walking among us. John calls Jesus the Word with the capital W, the logos from which we get our English word logic. And Jesus, the Word, was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made, and in him was life. If the heavens tell the glory of God and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork with speech and knowledge pouring forth day and night, how much more does Jesus tell us about who and what and where God is? In those few verses alone, the author of the fourth gospel tells us a lot. Jesus calls the temple my Father's house, implying both that his relationship to God is close, familial, and also that the temple belongs to God, is God's sanctuary and God's domain. As Jesus scatters coins, overturns tables, and drives the business activity out, he implies that these do not belong in a prayerful worship space. They stand in sharp contrast to what God values and expects from worshipers. John's gospel, most of the scholars agree, was written well after Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, possibly as late as the second century. The turn of the second century, let me be clear. John's audience would have held a mix of Christ followers from Jewish as well as Gentile traditions. The story John tells was shaped in part by events including the destruction of the Jerusalem temple. When John's first audience heard the words from Jesus, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days," those words would have hit hard because the temple had been destroyed in the year 70 CE when the Romans and Jews clashed in Jerusalem. The charred rubble still littered the streets. The Wailing Wall, the Western Wall that stands today in Jerusalem, is all that remains of the massive temple, which had been the center of Jewish religious life and practice for centuries. The people hearing John's gospel in those days did not need to look very far to see evidence of recent trauma and their personal faith challenges. And institutional memory told them it had happened before. In the years after Kings David and Solomon, the kingdom was divided by Solomon's heirs and eventually fell victim to foreign powers. War and famine claimed countless lives. Fields were laid waste. Homes were destroyed. People were enslaved and became refugees in foreign lands. And the temple Solomon had built in David's city, Jerusalem, was destroyed, which left the people grappling with their understanding of God. If there was no temple, where would God dwell on earth? If the priests had no place to practice, how could the prayers be heard? If there was no place to offer sacrifices, how could the people repent and know forgiveness? Time passed and generations passed away before the people resettled in and around Jerusalem and rebuilt the temple. The understanding of God, of prayer, of repentance and forgiveness evolved through the exile. God was still God. God's people were still God's people. In turbulent times, where do we see God at work? In times of change and upheaval, what resounds with God's grace and God's holiness? John brings words of hope and enlightenment to his audience. When the temple leaders challenge his authority, Jesus replies, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." The gospel author helpfully explains the temple he had spoken of was his body. And after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Goodness, the holiness, the love and grace and hope of God do not reside only in dedicated worship spaces. Those virtues reside in Jesus. By extension, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they reside in us, Jesus' followers. Wherever we go, God goes with us. Wherever we go, God's light can shine through us. Last weekend, there was a meeting for the leadership of this church and the Sky of the Lake Church with the district superintendent, district associate, and district lay leader. The purpose was to talk about the future of these two churches as the end to my ministry here approaches. We talked about what the mission of the church is in general and specifically in these two communities. And we talked about the history of the churches and their connection to one another, especially in the months and the years after the fire at Schuyler Lake. Now, maybe some of you don't know that story or don't know it intimately because you weren't a part of this congregation at the time, but in December of 2010, December 28th, in fact, just before daybreak, fire broke out at the Schuyler Lake Church. And the church members gathered alongside their friends and neighbors in the fire department who worked valiantly to save the beloved building. At one point, they turned to lifelong church member Willie Whiteman and asked his permission before breaking a window, because that window, like the windows here, that window bore his family's name and had been a gift. Willie, of course, gave permission. The fire was extinguished, but the interior was gutted. A section of the roof had given way. The stained glass windows all sustained damage, and the floor was unsafe. Now, the walls still stood, mostly, including the entryway with the bell tower, but the building was uninhabitable, except for the doves and the bats who took to roosting in the eaves. And the following Sunday, the congregation gathered at Sue and Norm Winnie's house in their living room to worship and pray and talk about the future. And they embraced the same reality as the exile community of the Hebrew Scriptures and the late first century community post-resurrection. God is still God. God's people are still God's people. It is the circumstances and the practices that have to change. And with help and support from this church, from Fly Creek, their partner in ministry, including financial support, the ministries continued and the mission grew in Schuyler Lake. God's love was at work, through the building and strengthening of the relationship between the two churches. God's holiness and grace shown through the connection. Today, these two congregations are on the verge of another change. The church boards of both bodies have been discussing a shift in how the churches relate to one another. For a few decades, Schuyler Lake and Fly Creek have been a yoked parish. In United Methodist language, that means they share a pastor, they share a pastor parish committee, but they have retained their own identities, their own bank accounts, trustees, and administrative bodies. Schuyler Lake's records are Schuyler Lake's. Fly Creek's records are Fly Creek's. But as attendance has declined Sunday mornings at Schuyler Lake, even as the mission of the monthly coffee house and the ministry of the food cupboard and the pop-up events like the pancake breakfasts and second Sunday soup and ice cream socials have all remained strong. But there's a sense that it might be time to further cement the ties between Schuyler Lake and Fly Creek. Circumstances have changed. So there's conversation going on right now about what it might look like to merge the two congregations, bringing all the finances and all the administration under a single entity with representation from both congregations. Whatever happens, God will still be God. God's people will still be God's people. And the proposed change, if the churches embrace it, will align them in new ways that strengthen the mission and the ministry and the witness of the church in these two communities and in the world. God is still God. We are still God's people, and we are still made up of the same stuff as the stars. This is a time to remember that the God we worship can raise up new life anywhere and everywhere, even here, even in us, even in the midst of challenge and change. This is a time to tell of God's glory, proclaim God's power, share God's goodness and love and grace, to point to it and to proclaim it day and night. It is time for us to shine like the stardust we are made from. Amen.